three, church.
Four.
Last verse.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, bread, the living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Chorus. Two, three, four.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is.
End. Two, three, four.
Amen. Dear Father God, we love you today and thank you for the opportunity to be here as the body of Christ. And God, I just pray today that you use your word, God, and your spirit to speak to us and challenge us and equip us and remind us of the truth. And God, as we leave this place, God, I pray, God, that we will leave here changed, God, that as we leave here, God, that we will be different as we interact with people in our homes and at work and at school in our everyday lives, God, that we will be the light of Christ. So may your scripture speak loud and clear, God. May your spirit speak loud and clear to us. God, we are here. We want to hear from you. We are hungry for you, Lord God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be in Luke 22, 39 through 44. Luke 22, 39 through 44. And I don't know about you, but a question for you is, have you ever had anything happen to you that was a little strange and a little bizarre? You're thinking, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening to me. But it is, and it's real. And you just, in those moments, it can get a little crazy, can it? A situation in my life about 6 weeks ago, my wife and I, we had decided to kind of get away a little bit, and we went to Flowood. We didn't get away too far, but we went to Flowood for about 3 days just to hang out and get away. And so we left on Thursday, and Thursday night at about 10:30, I had just eaten something, and I coughed a little bit, like I always do. It's not a big deal. It was normal. It wasn't anything like strange or weird, just like I always do. And right after that, I began to have trouble breathing. Like I could not catch my breath. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on with me? I mean, out of the blue, I didn't know what was happening to me. Never experienced anything like this before in my life. And so my hands were sweaty. My heart is racing. I'm breathing really fast. And because I couldn't catch my breath, I panicked even more. And so in that moment, I was freaking out and I was scared to death. And it lasted for about 10 minutes. And then it was gone. Friday morning, wake up, ready to start the day. All right, it's going to be a great day. Right, I'm getting away. It's going to be a great day. About 11 o'clock, started again. In fact, I had to call Tommy for something. And as I was calling him, it began to rise up. And I said, dude, I need to call you back. I need to call you back. And there it was again. couldn't breathe, trying to figure out how to breathe and to get that back to normal, breathing fast, my heart's racing, sweaty palms, the whole deal. And what I was experiencing in that moment, I didn't know, but it was a panic attack. Anybody ever had panic attacks? It's okay to say you've had a panic attack. Yeah, so having a panic attack, I was like, what's going on? About 10 minutes later, it's gone. The next day, Saturday, we're in Yazoo City on the way home, stop by Walmart. We go into Walmart. Of course, we have the mask on. And we go to the right. We go down to the end of the store. We make our way back right about the frozen food section of all places, rising up again. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, I got to go to the van. I've got to go to the van. And I'm freaking out because I'm like, here we go again. So I go to the van and I'm telling you, panic and terror, except this time it didn't go away. It stuck. And for 3 days, I am in a panic and terror mode, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. All I could do is cry. I cried and I cried and I cried. I didn't know what was going on. I was discouraged. I felt alone because everybody else around me could breathe. Everybody else was doing fine, but I was not doing fine. In that moment, in those moments, I was not okay. And I felt alone. And there were times I said, God, a lot of times I said, God, you got to help me. Please, please help me. God, I need your help. God, please help me. And I got to the point, I said, God, where are you? You ever been there where you get to the point in your life and you say, God, where are you? Because it feels like God is not there. But the truth is, how we feel about God doesn't always represent what's true about God. I'm going to say that again. How we feel about God doesn't always represent what's true about God, especially in the hard times, because life is hard, isn't it? Life is difficult. In fact, I said it even just a while ago with our students that as you grow up, I say, look, you know, I don't want to be a downer, but as you grow up, life gets more complicated, okay? It just does, all right? Life gets harder. It gets more complicated. That's why you need to be prepared. But it does. Life is difficult. It could be job loss. It could be something happening in your family. It could be marriage, divorce, conflict, sickness, death, tragedy, whatever it is. And in those moments, we can feel afraid. We can feel confused. We can feel alone. And everything can seem to just be a blur. Have you ever been there? Well, it's just a blur. And I think we've all been there. And sometimes in those moments, it's hard to pursue God. It's hard to feel like you want to open up the Word of God and get the truth inside of you, because sometimes you don't feel like opening up the Word of God. It's tough and it's hard. And to seek Him in prayer in those moments, maybe even worshiping Him with your heart. So to set up the story that we're looking at today, we are at the same place that we were last week. Jesus is moments away from being arrested. His disciples are there. He's at the foot of a mountain. And Jesus knows what's about to happen. Jesus knows what pain He is about to have to endure. That He is going to bear the sins of the world. Now catch that. He is about to bear the sins of the world. And it's hard. And He goes to His Heavenly Father. This is Luke 22:39-42a. It says, then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There He told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. And in that moment, Jesus is honest, he is humble, he is vulnerable, he is real, and he says, if you are willing, God, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Now, Jesus is God in human flesh, and he is struggling with the idea of suffering. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, he's about to bear the sins of the world. And his response is to look to his heavenly Father, to look to his God. And sometimes whenever things aren't going good in our lives, sometimes we want to blame God, right? We want to say, God, how could you let this happen to me? God, why are you letting this happen to me? How could you? God, please fix this. And we get in a panic mode, not thinking all the while that maybe in those moments of darkness and trial and maybe even despair, that he wants to teach us something about himself, about who he is and the character of God. Or maybe he's trying to teach us something about ourselves. Maybe it's patience or endurance or just trust, us actively trusting God with our lives through a very hard time. But it may be an opportunity for us to experience God in a way that we have never experienced him before. And when that happens, you are growing in Christ. In those moments when you experience God like that, you are growing in Christ. You may say, Chris, I don't want that opportunity. And I get it. None of us want to go through the hard times. None of us want to go through the dark times. If you look at Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Right? A thorn in his flesh. There was a reason why. It was because, why? Because God had shown him so much. And he starts off by saying, in order to keep me from being conceited. So through his thorn, God was keeping him humble through that. And we all have questions for God or about God. Can I trust you? Is God going to take care of me? Am I going to be okay? Is my family going to be okay? Is God good? Is God there for me? Does God care about this situation? And in here, Jesus is honest with God. He's honest with him. And he's asking for his help. Listen to this. 42b says this, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus is about to be betrayed and beaten and crucified, and he knows what's coming. And he says, Father, I trust you no matter what happens. No matter what happens, Father, I trust you, and I want your will to be done and not my will. Because sometimes we want our will in our lives, don't we? We want our way. A lot of times, maybe what we want and what we think needs to happen. Sometimes we tell God what needs to happen in our prayer life. But Jesus says, I want your will to be done, not my will. How does he do that? I think he does that because Jesus sees his circumstances through what he knew to be true about God. He saw his circumstances through what he knew to be true about God. Instead of changing his view of God based on what he experienced or felt. Because sometimes we start changing up our view when things get a little crazy, right? Maybe for you, you're like, things are good. My health is good. My family's health is good. I have the amount of money I think I need in my bank account, right? My family is good. There's no conflict. So therefore, because everything is good, then God is good. Praise God. God is a good God because everything's going good. And then there's a tragedy, a diagnosis, a job loss, something with your marriage, something going on with your kids. And our kids can break our hearts, can't they? And all of a sudden our view begins to change. God, how could you let this happen to me? How could God be good? Is God good? Because this is all happening, and this is painful, and I don't like this. And sometimes our view can change because our circumstances, but Jesus sees his circumstances through what he knew to be true about God. So his view of God comforted him and strengthened him in the middle of the hard time, right? So as you're going through the hard time, your view of God is a big deal. Your perspective of God is a big deal. Now, what did he know to be true about God? That God was his refuge, his safe place, his strength, that God was good, that God was loving, that God had purpose, that God had a bigger picture in mind. Luke 22, 43 through 44 says this, "Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently and was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood." So this is intense. In this moment, it is intense. He is in such agony. He is sweating drops of blood. And Jesus says, "God, your will be done, not my will." God sends an angel, cares for him, comforts him. But listen, he didn't make the situation go away. He was still in it. And I think that's something very important for us to know, is that Jesus will comfort us. He will strengthen us. He will give us hope to stand on firm ground. But a lot of times, the situation's not going away. We have to endure that, whatever that is. So trusting God doesn't mean your circumstance is going to disappear or the things are going to go your way. Trusting God is about understanding who God is and who you are in Christ, not getting what you want. Because in the end, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about us as his children coming to him, hearing the Spirit inside of us. God calls us to do things daily, specifically, and it's about obedience. It's about us saying, "God, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know you're calling me to do this. God, this is hard, this is tough, but I'm going for it." It's about us as believers in Christ sacrificing our lives daily and glorifying God with our lives. Even when you don't want to. Because sometimes I don't want to. And sometimes I'm sure in your life, you don't want to. Or you don't feel like it, right? Even when it doesn't make sense. And so many times, I know in my life, and I know it's true in yours, that when God calls us to do things, so many times it's not going to make sense. "God, you want me to love that person? I mean, did you not see what they did? And you want me to reach out to them?" And, "Yep, that's exactly what I want." "You want me to give how much money? A tenth? Tenth? God, have you seen my bank?" "Yep, I want you to trust me. I want you to honor me in every aspect of your life." But it doesn't have to make sense. And most of the time, once again, it's not going to make sense. And even when you want everything to go back to the way that it was. How many of you in this room want things to go back to the way things were maybe 6 months ago, right? So the truth is we're going to all face tough times. You're going to face tough times. You're going to face times that are going to rock your world. You're going to face times that are going to rock your belief system and wonder, what in the world is God doing? And for a lot of us in this room, you're wondering that right now because you're in it right now and it's tough. But trust who God is even when you don't understand it. Trust who God is even when you don't understand it. Because if we face circumstances with the confidence that God's good, that God's for us, that God's trustworthy, then our trust gives us fuel to endure the hard times. Because if I know who God is, and I know that he's my refuge and my strength, then in those moments, I can say, "Yes, this is tough, this is hard, but I'm going to stand firm on those promises." Now, sometimes for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like a toddler trying to walk or even stand up. I'm like, "I'm standing, God," but I don't do a very good job of it sometimes. Sometimes I fall. "God, I believe this is going to, I'm standing on your promise." And I fall. And we got to get back up and keep standing. because we know that He's with us. In those moments of tragedy and crisis and dark times in life, in those moments, we can know that He is with us. We can know that He cares about us and the situation that we're in, and that He's probably teaching us a whole lot along the way. And He can turn the bad things for good. There's so much good that can come out of those trials. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for you in your everyday life? First thing is this, is that we have permission to be real with God. Well, how do you know you have that, Chris? Because Jesus was real with God. And Jesus is our example, and we are to be Christ-like. Therefore, we have permission. As His children, you don't have to hide it. You don't have to be afraid to come to your Heavenly Father. Because of Jesus and what He did on the cross, we have access to God. Amazing. Creator God. That's what you and I have every single moment of our lives, is access to the living God. That's incredible. But you don't have to hide it. You don't have to be afraid, because your God can handle that. And your Father wants you as His child to come to Him, to be real and to be honest, because He already knows, right? But just as His children coming to Him, there's so much strength and comfort that we get by coming to our Heavenly Father, even sometimes with tears. Now, honesty doesn't make you a bad Christian, and it doesn't mean that you don't trust God, but it means that you're human, right? You're human. And how honest we are reveals how much that we trust Him. The more honest that we are with God, I think it shows how much we really trust Him, because we're saying, God, here I am. Here's everything of me. And this creates an opportunity for God to show Himself faithful and loving and close to us in those moments as His children. So honesty with God builds a stronger connection. It allows us to go deeper with God. So remind yourself of what's true of God. That's what, especially in those moments, remind yourself what's true of God, that God is loving. He is compassionate. He is full of mercy and grace, and He is for you. Your God is for you. And check this out. Your God is better than anything in this world. Anything in this world. And by the way, this world, man, it looks good, doesn't it? This world feels good and tastes good. It's so deceiving. Your God is better than anything than this world has to offer us. And when things are bad, you can hold on to that truth. So some of the things that I did during panic attack for me, and especially those 3 days, you know, I don't know if any of y'all have ever been in a car wreck or not, but when it happens, it's fast, you're like, whoa, what? Like, you're trying to figure out what just happened, right? Because you're not quite sure how it happened or exactly what happened, and so you're trying to kind of figure out, are you okay? And so for a little while, that's what I did. Oh, okay, I can't breathe. I'm trying to figure this out. I don't know what's going on. I'm freaking out in those moments. Then I finally was like, okay, like, this is happening. This is where I am. I've got to do some things here. First thing I did was I sent out a text to a bunch of people, to our deacons and staff and our volunteers, my friends. I just said, pray for me. I'm struggling. I am not doing good. I need you to pray for me. And as I'm typing in, I'm crying the whole way, let me tell you. And then I remembered something that I tell students all the time. You got to have the truth. You got to remember the truth. You got to have the truth inside of you. And let me tell you, in that moment, I was forgetting the truth. And I opened up His Word, and I started reading, and I started to do the first Bible study online thing I did was a Bible study by Max Licato on anxiety. And so I was doing that, and I was writing down scripture, and I'm crying the whole time, and I'm writing down scripture, and I just kept in the Word and in the Word. And it's interesting that in those dark times can be some of the most real worship that you will ever do in your life, because it's raw. And what you feel is real. And as you come before your God, you're coming before your God so humbled in spirit, man, you can worship in some amazing ways. And I listen to worship music constantly, still trying to breathe. I can't breathe still, just trying. But a song that I listen to, I don't know if it's been out for a long time. It's called Highlands by Hillsong. If you don't, never heard it, look it up. It's an amazing song. But the words of the song, God really spoke to me in the season that I was in. The chorus says this. The words should be up there. It says, So I will praise you on the mountain, and I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are, so I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is, in the highlands, in the heartache, all the same. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. And in praise songs, you've got choruses that repeat over and over and over. And I had to hear that, guys, over and over and over. God, you are with me. God, you are still God. God, you are still good. God, this hurts. God, I don't know what's going on. God, I'm confused. But God, you are still God. And you've got this. And you're teaching me a lot of things right now. And I had to remember who God was a bunch. And I had to remember who I was in Christ. Because let me tell you, in those moments, boy, Satan was whispering some lies to me through those days. Now I'm going to say something, okay? In those moments, I was not at a place where I was like, well, I'm going to take my life. I was not at that place. But I'm going to tell you, it brought me to a place where I was like, boy, I could see how it's so dark, it's so empty, it's so lonely, that I could see. It was tough. It was hard. So what has God done through that? Well, just some things that God has done is that when something like that happens to you, God kind of wakes you up to some things. God kind of wakes you up spiritually to, hey, let's really think about your life. Let's really think about death. Let's really think about the, you know, what are you living for? What are your priorities? And so God has woken me up some with things like that. God has allowed me to appreciate life and breath. Whew, right? And so, right? And so, in fact, for a long time, I would take a deep breath, and I would catch that deep breath that I could hardly catch, and I would exhale, thank you, Lord. I would just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, over and over and over. And I'm sure He's going to do a lot more, just like in your life with whatever you're going through. God wants to do a work in your life and do a lot more. We don't always know what God's doing. We're not supposed to. We don't have to have it all figured out. Look, God has a bigger picture in mind than what we have in mind. Our lives are not about ourselves. So a question to you today is this: is there an area or areas of your life where you're not sure what God's doing? Maybe there's some questions. Maybe it's your health. Something's going on there. You've been to the doctor. You don't know what's going on. Or maybe you've been to the doctor and you do know what's going on. And you're like, God, I don't know why you're doing this. Maybe it's something within your family. Maybe it's within our church. God, we don't have a pastor now. Well, you know, and you've got questions about that. Maybe it's something to do with your job. Maybe it's something to do with your finances. What is an area of your life where you're not quite sure what God's doing? And what would it look like for you to trust God with that? To trust who He is. Even when you don't understand it, to be vulnerable, to be honest, even maybe to the point of tears. How does you trusting in Him, how does that change your relationship with God? How does that change your relationship with the people around you? How does that change your perspective of God and of life? Maybe for you, it means letting go of some things. And boy, don't we like to hold on to things? Don't we like to take control of things and hold on to them very tightly? Maybe you need to let go of some things like worry. That thing, it's on your mind a lot, and you just can't seem to let it go. You try to give it to God in prayer, but it seems to be there and you worry. Maybe it's anger. Somebody wronged you, and what they did to you was not fair, and it was wrong, and you're bitter, and you're angry about that, and you're having a hard time trusting God for who He is and knowing that He sent Jesus to die for that. And you're forgiven, and so is that person. And you have a hard time letting that go. Maybe for you, it means obedience. That the Holy Spirit inside of you has spoken to you. And God's calling you to do something. And you don't know how it's going to turn out. And so God's saying, hey, trust me. Trust me. Love that person. Forgive that person. Give what I've asked you to give. Trust me. I am faithful. I am worthy. Maybe it means going to your God and praying honestly and being real. Maybe for the first time, I mean really being real and trusting that He will hear you and that He is with you. So Jesus says, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And He trusted. And praise God, He trusted, because within hours, He crawled up on the cross. Within hours, He is beaten and He is crucified for you and for me and this world. And because of Jesus, we can do the same. And many of us are struggling now. Many of us, things aren't okay. I challenge you to be real with God. I challenge you to be real with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're in a life group, to be real about that and say, things aren't okay. I know I put on the smile a lot and I act like I'm happy, but you know what? Things are not okay. So my question to you is, what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do in the middle of this? Are you worried? Are you scared? Are you confused? The encouragement that I want to say to you today is, in the middle of your storm, your God is with you. Your God cares about you. And your God loves you. And your God wants to teach you much during this time. Let Him. Let Him teach you. Let Him reveal Himself to you. And may you grow in Christ and become like Him during the hard and dark times of your life. And we're going to stop for just a little bit. We're going to be still. The band's about to play. And I think that it's just good for us just to stop. I'm not talking just stop physically. I'm talking up here too. Because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I'm sitting here, my brain's going 90 to nothing about whatever. But to stop and think about your life. Think about where you are. Think about what you're going through. For a lot of us in this room, we need to be real with God. We need to be honest. We need to be transparent. God, I'm not okay today. God, everything is not okay. God, I need your help. God, show me who you are today. I need you to be my refuge. I need you to be my strength. I need you to be my hope today. And just stop and do that. And if that means you come to one of us for prayer, that's awesome. If that means you need to stop right there and kneel in your chair, that's awesome. But it may also be a time to just take all this in and just worship Him. Just worship Him for who He is. And express to your God, God, you are amazing. God, I want to follow you. That's my heart's desire. Show me how. Show me what to do. God, give me the strength and the courage to chase after you and your ways today. That's my heart. So take the time here and do whatever it is God's calling you to do to respond specifically. I'm going to pray for us. All right. Dear Father, thank you for just your word and just the fact that you gave yourself up for us, God, and you are faithful and you are our refuge and our strength. And I pray for the church now as we come to respond, to think about all of this. God, I pray this will be a time where our hearts will draw close to you, Lord God, that you would give us comfort. God, I pray that we will be transparent and real. God, if you're calling us to rise up and be prayed for, I pray that that's the case. God, that we'll do whatever it is that you ask of us, Lord God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Intro, 2, 3, 4.